Maybe while waiting for the rest, we can have a short introduction among yourself. You all know each other. Wendy. Priscilla. Wendy. Yen Ping. Priscilla. So I... Joanna. So you all have been teaching Sunday school quite a while. New, you are new. All three of you new. Very good. Good, good. You will never regret your decision. Come, morning. Come. Hi. Suki Hanto, Sadel. Okay. While waiting for the rest, we can maybe, like I said, start by introducing yourself to each other, so that you all can work as beautiful colleagues. Okay. Yeah. So we get Yen Ping to introduce herself first. Yes. Yeah, come in. Good. Wow, sadhu, very good. Like I told Yen Ping, whatever decision you have made to be here, you will never regret. After you listen to what I have to share with you. It is really something very beneficial and it's very meritorious, not only for you, but to all those who have relationship with you. When you change, your family members will benefit. All those that have relationship with you through your career, your colleague, your in-laws, your neighbors, your good friend, your brothers and sisters, they will all benefit. Especially your personal development. It not only help you in the spiritual side, it can help you in your career and many other places. Okay, I will do a fast one. Yen Ping, Priscilla, Wendy. The rest you have to introduce. What's your name? Jacqueline. What about your name?
Megan.
Yeah, nice meeting you. What about you? Yishan. Elaine. Good. So, a very good morning to you all. I am Brother Teo. I don't know whether they told you who I am or not. But not important. Just call me Brother Teo. That's it. Okay, today's topic, they give me this topic. Noble Eightfold Path is the core aspect of what I'm supposed to talk on. But the main teaching is this Four Noble Truths. Four Noble Truths, you have the first Noble Truth, second Noble Truth, third Noble Truth, and the fourth Noble Truth. And this fourth Noble Truth is actually the Noble Eightfold Path. So this is the introduction. Come, Mi Fong, come. No, just about. To start. Come. Better. Come.
Sorry, but before I start, who is Megan here?
She's here.
You are going to mark attendance and all those things, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. That's very good.
Good morning, all the
Sunday teachers. School teachers.
I introduced Brother Chiu. Yeah. Civil engineer by profession, and he has been in the Dharma for a long time. He has been giving Dharma talks at many different Buddhist organizations, teaching meditation, and he's a fantastic teacher. You can ask some of us who have been learning from him. So compassionate, and his experience is very fantastic. So we are all very fortunate here to be able to learn from our Brother Teo. Currently, Brother Teo is giving talk at SUVA, also at Ultra High
mudita, then clang and ghost also. Then earlier on, Bob's, earlier on was with Bob's. Vipassana center I started, that was 2005. Then later on, Bob's, BU Buddhist Society. I was there for 3 years. Then after that, I had to move. That's why finally I came here. This part and Putrahyde side, because there were conditions for things to happen. Saturday 3 to 6.
Yeah, 10:30.
But it's flexible. You can come and go anytime. No hard and fast rule.
And you're welcome to join us if
you are interested. Can, no problem. Yes.
Reason is I'm in second session and I have to leave by about
10:30. Yes.
Yeah. So my name is
Yifeng. Very good. Sadhu. No, that's all. Thanks so much, Mifong. Yeah, Sadhu. Okay. So now we can officially start. Just now, for the benefit of Mifong, I just let her know. We started off by having a very simple introduction among themselves so that they can be very, very good and what I should say, beautiful Sunday school teachers, colleague. Like I said just now, you will never regret your decision to be here. You will feel totally different after you understand how beautiful the Buddha's message or his teaching is. You see, today's topic, like I said, they talk about the Four Noble Truths, particular emphasis on the Noble Eightfold Path. Basically, like I said just now, the Noble Eightfold Path is part of the Four Noble Truths. The Fourth Noble Truth actually talk about the path that leads to the cessation of all suffering or dukkha. The path in Pali is called Marga. So the Noble Eightfold Path is the path that the Buddha talk about. And when you have this, you become noble ones. So this brings me to this particular important definition of Four Noble Truths. Why did the Buddha say it is a noble truth, not any other type of ultimate truth or supreme truth? You see, the word noble is very important. Noble in the sense that you are very noble and honorable in whatever you do, in whatever you say, and in your understanding of what is going on. In the spiritual sense, the Buddha means you have right understanding with regards to the law that governs our life and existence. And that is very important. The nature's law. So that aspect will give you the wisdom to understand life. And when you can understand life, you know how to live. Understand? If you don't understand life, you don't know how to live. So the beauty about this Four Noble Truths is when you understand the Four Noble Truths and after you put it into practice and cultivation, if you can realize the wisdom, the Buddha said you become noble ones or enlightened one. That is the meaning. Noble truths are truths that can make you enlightened one or noble ones. So you see, this is the beauty of his teaching. And he is so wise. That's why, as a Sunday school teacher, you have to start by understanding who the Buddha is, how special he is. Even though he is a normal human being like us all, but he is a very unique human being because he can teach not only human beings, he can teach all living beings, including man and God. It means all the devas, all the higher beings, he can teach them. Teach them to be enlightened ones. So as a teacher in the spiritual field, he is a teacher or guide incomparable. Means nobody can meet up or match up with him, or can compare up to him. So that is the uniqueness of what he is. And he has actually cultivated for very, very long. According to the scripture, it's almost 3¾ world cycle. You know how long is one world cycle or not? Our planet, our sun, our solar system, together the Milky Way and all the stars in the universe. The formation, the growth stage, the decay stage, and the disappearance is one world cycle. And that is really, really long, very, very long. If you want to know roughly how long, there is an analogy there. He said you have a solid piece of rock, 7 miles long, 7 miles high, 7 miles wide. Every 100 years, you take a piece of cloth, you clean it once. Until you clean, until the whole piece of rock disappear. That is how long it takes. I ask you to clean even one small piece. Every 100 years you clean once, not every day you clean. And that piece takes a long time. So the duration that he has spent to develop this perfection to be a Samasambuddha. You see, the meaning of Samasambuddha is very important. Samasambuddha means he is not only a Buddha, he is a fully enlightened Buddha. Perfect in wisdom, perfect in understanding and virtue, goodness, kindness. Because of that, you can say during his time when he arrives, he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being, not only human being, in the entire universe. To have such a great being to be your teacher is a great blessing. Like when you have gratitude and respect towards a teacher who has taught you very well, you feel very, very honored. Then you have a lot of gratitude and respect for such a great teacher. But to the Buddha, it's even more significant. Come in, yeah, come. So because of that, the Buddha is so unique. He cultivated for so long, for almost 4 world cycles, to perfect his complete enlightenment wisdom. And because of that, he is so special. And he can summarize all his understanding into what he called this Four Noble Truths. This is where the teaching is very unique. This is how he actually share with the living being. Out of love and compassion for us all, he summarized all his understanding in this four beautiful truths that he called the Four Noble Truths. When you understand this truth, it's like you understand the secret of life. You will know how to live life. Then your life will change. Personally, your character, your personality, your understanding completely change. Then once you understand what he tried to share with you, your faith in him, your gratitude in him is very strong. Then after that, you can make use of his teaching, not only to allow you to become enlightened, so that you are free from all life suffering or problem. You see, enlightenment here doesn't mean you overnight become like fantastic. A lot of people don't understand. They thought, I enlightened already. It means I can do what I like. No. Enlightenment here means your mind is totally free. From that day onward, you got no more suffering. Means what? You got no more fear, no more worry, no more anxiety, no more unhappiness, no more evil roots like jealousy, envy, hatred, anger, deceitfulness, all the lustfulness, everything gone. You will instead have what they call love, real love, compassion, kindness, gratitude, respect, and all the other virtues. You are very sincere, very honest in whatever you do. So because of that, when you are transformed that way, The noble eightfold path will be there. Eh? I will explain on this later. Eh? So like I said, it is something very important to all living beings. Without this, I tell you, human beings suffer like anything. That's why you look at the world, there is so much problem with the world. And human being has a lot of problem. So the Buddha said, even if you are very successful in life, materialistically, let's say you are very successful in your career, you make a lot of money, financially you have your financial freedom, then you even very successful in your career, you can reach the pinnacle of your career. Then academic-wise, maybe you also able to achieve quite well. Yeah? For most of us in this modern society, stay in the city, we can have all this. But then the Buddha asks, are you happy after that? Most people will think, oh, sure, I got the money, I sure happy. I am already very successful. But you go and find out for yourself. All these CEO, they are not really that happy. And most of them who have money also, they are not really happy. The Buddha said, no matter who you are, when the reality hit, that's why he talked about this first noble truth. This first noble truth is very important. He talked about the first noble truth of dukkha. You know what dukkha is or not? Most of you know, huh? Those who are new, I explain a bit. Dukkha is another Pali word. Its meaning is very deep, but the English translation is always suffering, one word. Yeah? A lot of people got mixed up. They always tell me, the first noble truth that the Buddha teaches, life is suffering. Huh? You always heard of that, huh? But don't get the Buddha wrong. He never say life is suffering. That's why this point, I want to re-emphasize so that as Sunday school teacher, you can teach the proper Dharma. Because this is a very major misconception. And a lot of Buddhists didn't realize. That's why a lot of other religion, they make use of this. He say, why you are so stupid, you go and study Buddhism. He talk about suffering and nothing else. You come to their religion, they talk about love. They talk about sharing and all. So naturally, human being by nature still not enlightened. They will be attracted to the religion that talk about love. Understand that? So because of that, we have to make this very clear. The Buddha said there is a noble truth that explains to you what suffering is. He never said life is suffering. Huh? And this is what the Buddha called the reality of life and existence. Huh? You have to write it down. The first noble truth talk about the realities of life and existence. There are certain life reality that each and every one of us as human beings, we have to confront them. And when you confront them, the Buddha said, no matter how wealthy you are, how famous you are, how your status, it is not going to help you much. It is not going to make much difference because this is a common reality to all living beings. That's why when you have this understanding, your life changes. You will not be like a normal human being. When you are confronted with all this reality, you no longer lament. You no longer become fearful and sad. I will explain this so that you can understand. How many of you heard of the first noble truth before? Oh, you haven't, huh? Okay, some heard before. You see, the Buddha said there are eight conditions or eight types of reality in life that can make you miserable if you have not developed the wisdom born of the Noble Eightfold Path. If you have not developed the understanding of life, it is going to cause you a lot of suffering. So the eight conditions are, the first four is birth, old age, sickness, and death. Okay. I have to write here. Huh? Birth, old age, sickness, and death. So this one very easy, huh? Each and every one of us, as we go through life, what will happen? You will grow old. One day you will get sick. One day you will die. Correct? So they used to say, money cannot buy you life. Money cannot buy you health. It can help you to a certain extent, understand? But ultimately, this is the reality of our form, our physical form, this body. The physical body of this human form. It goes the way of nature, understand? Like everything, it will decay, disintegrate, and finally come to pass. That's why this process, whatever that is born, is of the nature to grow old, to decay, and finally die. As human beings, we have this, what they call, human life. That's why this body can be subject to sickness and disease. If you don't take care, you abuse this body, you don't know how to develop the precaution to look after it, it will fall sick. But even no matter how careful you are, finally, it still succumb, understand? Because there are certain diseases beyond what you can do, understand? Like sometimes certain things like SARS, H1N1, and all those very dreadful type of disease. If suddenly it spread through the virus in the environment, it's very difficult for you to avoid. So no matter what you do, ultimately the Buddha said, it depends on your karma. If you have the good karma, you have the good DNA, the natural resistor, nothing will happen to you. But if you don't have the karma, they say, no matter how you hide, finally you also succumb. Yeah? So this reality, when it hit, especially disease, sickness, and death, you know, SJBA has a lot of cancer case. Yeah? Cancer and very traumatic stroke and all those things. Nowadays, it's very traumatic. HIV, heart attack, kidney failure. We have not only heard about it, we sometimes see our own grandparents and parents going through all this, our relative. Sometimes it's ourselves, sometimes it's even our parents and children. So these are very common reality. So the Buddha said, when you are confronted with this, if you don't have the wisdom, what will happen? When you have disease and pending death, what will happen to the human being? There's a lot of fear in there. Huh? The suffering comes from what? Fear, worry, anxiety. This is where the beauty of the teaching is. When you understand all this, the Buddha said you need not have all this fear, worry, anxiety, and suffering. When you have the Dhamma, he said, you will accept this reality for what it is. That's why he said, he teach the monk at that time, every day you must reflect and contemplate on the reality of this body, the five daily contemplation. He said, you have to reflect. This is the reality of this body. This body of mine is of the nature to grow old, for it has not gone beyond decay and old age. Okay, this is the first reality. The second reality is, this body of mine is of the nature to get sick and be diseased, for it has not gone beyond disease and sickness. The third one is, this body of ours is of the nature to die one day, and it has to happen. That's why they say in this world nothing is certain, only death is very certain. A lot of people don't understand life, that's why life is very uncertain, but death is very certain. It's a matter of when it will happen. So the Buddha said, this reality, when you reflect and tell yourself through the meditation that this is only the human form, make of element, not me. Understand not? So when it gets sick, it gets old and about to die, you don't have to worry about it. Understand not? Why do you want to worry about it? He said, you got two choices. Whatever happened, the Buddha said, you got two choices. First, through your delusion, through your stupidity, lack of understanding, you arise the worry, the fear, the anxiety. Then what happened to you? You become miserable. Understand? Why must you do that? The Buddha said this is a reality of life and existence. Each and every living being has to go through it, anasana, sooner or later. So when you confront this and you don't have the wisdom, that's why you suffer, is it? Compared to another person who understands, he don't have to suffer. You know why? Because he has reflected. This body of mine is like that. It's made of element. It will go this way. Not only me. The whole world is subject to the same reality. The difference between one who suffer and one who don't suffer is what? The one who suffer don't understand. Lament, worry, create all the fear, worry, anxiety, and misery, unhappiness. The one who understand, look at it. Understand, okay, this is the truth. This is the reality. I accept this reality. When I accept this reality, I don't have to worry, isn't it? Clear not? No more fear, is it? Then what do? You do what you have to do. Clear not? Like the car. Huh? The car is not you, isn't it? Of course, you pay money, you think you own. Huh? This body also same. You pay money through karma. That's why you receive this. And you think you own because it has been with you for so long. Understand not? But the car, you know, of course, some people attach so much to the car, they lament a bit, ayo, I pay so much, why my car give me so much trouble? But when it comes to the car, you know, it doesn't affect you consciousness-wise. Whereas this body, your mind, your consciousness is trapped inside, understand not? Whatever happened to this body, you feel it, understand not? The pain, the misery, the fear, the worry, that all you feel it, understand not? Whereas this car, you don't feel. You are the driver, you just drive it. Understand? Whereas this body, you drive it, you move it around. But you can never be separated from it because your mind is trapped inside. Understand? That's why there is this form and mind the Buddha talked about, the human being. So when you understand this reality, then you tell yourself, like this car, what must I do if my car got problem? Eh? I go and look for a good mechanic, isn't it? I source for the good and cheap one, isn't it? To do it up, isn't it? If you want to have better service, you pay a little bit more. Understand? Your health is the same. Do what you must do. Instead of arising the fear, worry, anxiety, you know how it destroys you? When you have fear, worry, anxiety, and unhappiness, these are negative energy. Understand? What will happen is, when you have a lot of this fear, the negative energy, you know what is called fear? It will lower your immune system. Understand? And when your mind is not strong, your immune system go down. All these diseases become very strong. That's why those who have stress, worry, fear, anxiety, they succumb to all these diseases very fast. So when you understand this, you can break free. Understand? You have to remain strong. And as a Buddhist, like the Buddha said, I must reverse all this negative energy to what? I must radiate metta to myself. May this body and mind of mine be well and have, feel the well-being and happiness in you and the joy. May this form, physical form of mine, recover to good health. All this is going to create positive energy and it's going to raise your immune system where you are very positive. This is what you can do, understand not? Then you need to see a doctor, have a second opinion, check with them. Then you have confidence, understand not? Then you ask the doctor, okay, if this is the test, biopsy, come back, confirm, I have cancer, so what? This is the reality. I have to decide. If I want a second opinion, I go for another independent test. Then once it's confirmed, I accept this reality. I'm not going to run away. I'm not going to become fearful. Then I ask the doctor, what are my options? Understand? Then life still go on. You can still be happy. You can still be beautiful. Understand? You can still talk to your loved one. There is nothing to fear. It's only this form. If the time comes, if I need to let go of this form, I willingly let it go. Because according to the Buddha, he said, if you have understood what life is, if you have taken care of your karma, if you have lived a good, noble life, you don't have to worry about death. Because you can come back with a better body, Nasana. Because you inherit through your good karma a very good human form. And when you come back again, this form is going to be so much better. But if you go and worry about it, if you create fear, anxiety, negativity, you go and grieve over it, you go and lock yourself up, refuse to talk to people, get angry over what happened. This is what suffering is. The whole world got a lot of this type of people. Then not only you suffer, what happened to your loved one? They worry for you, your children, they worry for you. They also suffer. That's how this noble truth come about. When you don't understand life, you create suffering not only for yourself, to all your loved ones. Is that what you want? If that is not what you want, you reverse all this. Understand? Through loving kindness, through understanding, you can move on. And this is the teaching. The teaching say, if you don't attach, if you don't cling and worry about all this reality, you come to terms with this reality, accept it, understand, not to react to it, then you move. You move through what? Through an understanding, through following the Noble Eightfold Path. If you follow the Noble Eightfold Path, he said, this is the meditation, this is the enlightenment. When you have this, you don't have to suffer anymore. The Buddha said, if you have right view, means you understand the reality of this form. You understand the reality of the law of karma. There are three right views. First one is law of karma. When you have that understood, you tell yourself, whatever it is, this body of mine, like the Buddha said, is born of karma. Born of my karma. Heir to my karma. Conditioned and supported by my karma. I am what I am because of my karma. So when you know that, with that right view, you will not blame anybody for what happened. You will instead be more calm, more patient. Then you have the understanding of how to deal with life. So this one, the first right view is where you have the first understanding, law of karma. So when you can accept this reality, you will know how to become very calm and very peaceful, and you will not react. Then what must you do, the Buddha said after that? Once you are able to accept the reality, you don't blame, you don't react, there is no more negativity, no more fear, no more worry, no more anxiety, no more unhappiness. Then you arise the right thought. What are right thoughts? Right thoughts are thoughts that bring about peace, happiness, harmony, love, stability of mind, positive energy, and so on. As opposed to wrong thought. What are wrong thoughts? Thought that bring about fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, disharmony. So those who react to this reality of birth, old age, sickness and death, they have wrong thought. Understand or not? That's why they suffer. When you have right thought, means you radiate love and metta to yourself, like just now I said, understand or not? Then you have kindness, you have compassion, you say, out of love for myself and my children and my family and my parents, I must be strong. Understand not? I must determine to recover from my disease or my whatever situation. So through that positive thinking, positive thought, love and compassion for others, including yourself, you determine to be strong. You do what you have to do. So you go and find out. Understand not? Who are the good doctors? Who are the people who have survived before? Who are the strong support group that can help me? Who are the people with the Dhamma that can help me understand what life is? Through this positive approach to life, you apply right thought, right speech, and right action. And that's how you gain back your life. Right speech means you talk to people nicely, another. Be very sincere about what you want. No selfishness, no harsh speech, no angry speech, no negative speech. Instead, you arise the gentle and pleasant speeches. Speech that bring about harmony, understanding, cordial relationship and love. Speech that have the sincerity, kindness within, the harmony within. So this is how you actually go about. Then when you have this right action, means you know how to act accordingly. You don't act with negativity. You don't get angry and scold people. You don't throw your temper and tantrum at your own children, at your own spouse and parents. A lot of people, when they get this dreadful disease, they just get angry, shut themselves up, create a lot of negativity. So when you understand, you know how to live. Then you bring about the right effort to abandon all the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, and wrong livelihood. This is how you purify your thought, speech, action, and livelihood. I will explain this a little bit more afterwards. I hope I have the time, but I have to move a bit faster now. These first four now, I have explained quite clearly. You know how to deal. The fifth one is very difficult. The Buddha talked about separation. These are the eight conditions of reality of life. Life and existence. So the first four is birth, old age, sickness, and death. The fifth one is separation. Separation got two. Separation from loved ones. Loved ones and possession. Your wealth, your money, things that you hold on to dearly. So when you have this separation happening, and this is a reality, everyone have to face them. Understand? Of course, some who are blessed, good karma, you don't have to. Like divorce. Divorce is a type of separation. Understand? Forced separation sometimes. You got no choice because certain things happen. Then sometimes when they are not married, they are not exempted from these two. Relationship can break down. Then they want to separate. So it can be very traumatic for those who gone through separation. Then most of the time when they are hit, they got so angry. The anger become hatred. The hatred become what? Depression. Then they got insomnia. They cannot sleep. And they whole day and night worry about this. They get so frustrated, they get so angry, they want to take revenge. This is how karma continue to hit. Very severe. So possession is your money, your wealth, things that you hold on to dearly. If you make a wrong call in your investment, or if you are not careful, your karma not so good in the past, you cheat people, you deceive people, this life come, you meet up with all these people who will cheat you and deceive you, then you make the mistake. Then when you lost what you think you own and have, you become affected. That's how human beings suffer. So the Buddha says separation from loved one and your possession is another cause of suffering. And this is a reality. But if you understand, you know the law of karma, you know how to reverse all this through right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Means what? You tell yourself, well, this reality that happened to me, that was very likely in the past, I did it to another lady, understand? So that time I was arrogant, I didn't know, I was full of ignorant delusion, a lot of very lustful thought. So when I had the means and the money, I thought I can have fun. But I never knew I caused so much misery and suffering to people. So law of karma is what? You reap what you sow. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. So what you do to people in the past life, now there is condition for the role to reverse. You become the wife. Then there is somebody, because you have the condition for suffering to arise, if there is this condition for that man to arise, he will do the same thing back to you. Understand? Then you ask yourself, is it fair? This is the nature's law. You cannot blame anybody for what happened. So if you want to free yourself, the Buddha says, ask for forgiveness. You can tell yourself calmly through your understanding. You accept this reality because, like the Buddha said, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. You are what you are because of your karma. So you accept this reality and ask for forgiveness. whomsoever from the distant past until now that I have caused any unknowing suffering or misery, I this life sincerely ask for forgiveness from them all, so that I can free myself from all this karmic debt and karmic repercussion. And when you do it sincerely, you will recover. You will instead have love and compassion, no more hatred, no more anger towards what happened. Understand? Because it's fair. What I did to people now happened back to me. Now I feel it. I know this is suffering. I will never do it to another person anymore. Understand? This is how you transform. This is how you develop love. Then you see, this sudden understanding changed the whole picture. Instead of day in and day night, worry about your husband not coming back, worry about how your husband is going to dump you and treat you, create so much fear and anxiety in you. What happened? It will lead to the negative energy that lower your immune system, then you not enough sleep, you get insomnia, then you become freaky, understand? Then you enter depression finally. That's why a lot of human beings suffer. And many of them came to me, but I have to explain slowly, slowly. Then when they understand, they recovered so well. They recovered so well. And life take a turn. The Dhamma is so powerful. It can make so much difference to your life. And when you have this understanding, as Sunday school teacher, you can help many people. What you need to tell the kid is, when they grow up, always remember, if they got any problem with life, suffering, remember to come back to the Dhamma. See those who understand the Dhamma. They can help you free from all. And it will be a blessing in disguise. Because whatever that appear negative initially can turn around when you have the Dhamma. Then this one, money cannot buy. This type of wisdom and understanding, university never teach. Understand? You can never get it anywhere. So this is the beauty of the teaching. Separation can also due to death. Nowadays a lot. Tsunami. Snatch the car accident. Flight accident, many possibilities. Then the other thing is, when there is what they call a situation which can lead to a lot of mass, what they call death. You look at the recent earthquake in what they call Christchurch. Not only one, after that, aftershock a few months later, until they have to move out from that whole place, they lost everything. Not only loved ones' life, their property, their wealth. There was one guy, you remember in the newspaper? He came out of the house after the aftershock. He suddenly fell into like a mud pit. Luckily not too deep, he survived. He was so angry what happened. You know what he told the reporter? You can have my house and my wife for $1. You know why he said that? He blamed the wife for asking him to shift there to stay. The house already cannot sell so bad. Then he come out the road, this mud pool just happened in front of the house. You see, when you cannot accept this reality, you tend to blame. But do you know why you have to face this? We are in the past, you rob and plunder people's money. That's why the Buddha said, if you steal, rob and plunder when you come, karma will take back what you take from people through fire, through flood, through earthquake, and through all this nature's disaster. You will lose everything. It will wipe you off completely. So you have to be careful. It's never worthwhile to violate the precepts. That's why if you know about law of karma, you will never violate your precept. You will take care of your karma. How do you take care of your karma? You have to train your mind to avoid all evil, to do good, to purify your mind. This is the advice of all the Buddha. Dhammapada verse 183. Sabba papasa akaranang kusalesa upasampadan sacitta pariyottapadang etang buddhana sasana. This is the advice of all the Buddha said. Sabbe is all. Sabbe papasa, evil. you have to avoid. All evil you must avoid. Akaranam. Then kusalesa is wholesomeness, goodness. You must do more, cultivate more. Then you have to purify your mind. That's the advice of all Buddha. And that is the Noble Eightfold Path. Understand? Noble Eightfold Path is right view is to purify your mind. Then right speech, right action, right thought, and right livelihood. This is doing good and avoiding evil. Understand? The right effort to avoid evil is very important. Then you develop samadhi, sati and samadhi, right mindfulness and right samadhi. This will help you to meditate, to develop the wisdom so that your view become purified. So Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation. Noble Eightfold Path is the wisdom that you must have. If you have this with you, you are noble one, you are enlightened one, and you can really make a big difference to your life, society, humanity, and all. That's why as Sunday school teacher, when you understand the true Dhamma, you can help so much. Initially, you help yourself. That's why I say you will never regret when you sign up for this course, because this is a beautiful teaching. Okay, I move a bit more. After this is, the Buddha said, when you are with people whom you don't like, when you are with people whom you don't like, suffering can arise. You know who are the people whom you don't like? Yeah? Those who work long enough, you will know, huh? Career. Some of your bosses are not easy to deal with. Huh? Some of these bosses, they are very demanding. Huh? Do you know what they ask? They put pressure on you. Then they ask for target. A lot of young kids, they resign from their job. Some they become like very fearful, don't know how to tell their parents. And then you know what some of them say? They go and read book like Robert Kiyosaki. Huh? You know what Robert Kiyosaki say? Huh? Be your own boss. Don't work for money. Don't work for. So he go and tell. This is a real case. I got this physics teacher. His son did that to him. He came and told me, he said, my son told me, I want to be like Robert Kiyosaki. I don't want to work. I don't want to work for money. I want to be my own boss. And you know, he created a mess of his own life. Finally, his own career never take off. Credit card, all the money. A lot of things accumulated. Then so many times pay for him, some more repeat the same mistake. So finally, they have to deal with all this. So I told him, this is your karmic debt. That's why he become your children. He take back from you. You cannot complain. Understand? Huh? If it's not your children, you will never pay that credit card bill. But I say, whatever it is, you have to understand. Don't get angry. Resolve it amicably. So when you don't understand Robert Kiyosaki, you make use of it in the wrong way. You know what Robert Kiyosaki said? He said, pay yourself first. You know what is paying yourself first? When you work for people, you allocate a sum of your salary to pay yourself first. Then you know what the kids say? What about the balance? Not enough. Not enough, go and look for penny. That's why Robert Kiyosaki is very wise. He never say you don't work. He said, you work, you pay yourself. You don't try to work for money. We are working for money 8 hours a day. There's a limit how much you can earn. Then the tax is very high, which is quite true. But you have to understand the deeper meaning of him. So he said, pay yourself means you want so much saving for your retirement, you pay yourself first. Then any shortfall, think of way to earn those money and settle your debt. So this is how you can slowly, slowly develop the understanding. But this one is different. Huh? This one, you have your bosses that is very, very demanding, put a lot of pressure on you. They used to say management by harassment and fear. You heard of this? Huh? They harass you, they put fear in you. You don't laugh, huh? You be careful, especially your senior position. If you do this to your staff, you know what happened in future? You will have a boss that do the same thing to you. That's how a lot of people got cancer. There was one lady, very high post, head of HR in a listed company. He said for 10 years she suffered, that's why she got breast cancer, and finally she recovered first, then finally succumbed. You know what happened? She said, for 10 years, he said, the phone call, the MD secretary light up. She got cold fear inside. They not pick up the call. Then when the MD call her personally on the handphone, there is fear. He said, for 10 years, he led that type of career and like, no wonder she got breast cancer at the age of 40-something, 42 or 43, at the prime of her career. Then when she understand the Dhamma, she gave up everything and look after the family and gain back her life. She was so happy for a few years. But finally, complacent, then relapsed. Then she passed. But before she passed away, she was beautiful. She understood the Dhamma. Her mind already more or less free. No more fear, no more worry. And life took such a great change. She said if she had known this earlier, she would never have neglected the family and just work for money. Because that time was building up financial freedom. She said, I didn't know that my family was so important to me. I didn't know there is a life to live. I didn't know the Dhamma. So that was how she actually regretted. I said, not too late. You can still do it. Okay, what happened is, after this, you got another one. Huh? The children who went to school, they have this bully gangster, you know what? People whom you don't like, then especially certain race, they got this child abuse, incest and all those things. When you are young, certain things happen. So people whom you don't like, when they see them, the phobia come back, understand? The memory of it, because they will be mistreated when they are young, child abuse. So all this, mother-in-law and all those things can create a lot of what they call trauma to them. The seventh one is when you cannot get what you want. When you cannot get what you want. Or when things don't go your way, the Buddha said. When things go your way, you're very happy that you expect to be promoted, you get promoted. You expect to do well in your exam. You got a good result. That's why you're very happy and full of joy. What happens if it's the other way around? You expect to be promoted, then another colleague got promoted. And to you, you think, that guy don't deserve it. That guy never do much. Then you feel what? Frustrated, unhappy. This is how you suffer, understand? You cling and you hold on to your views. You cannot accept the reality of the moment. So all this is going to bring about a lot of suffering. And the worst one is what? Expect to be loved. That is the worst one. You expect your sister, your parent to love you, to know you. Yeah. So all this will bring about what they call a lot of suffering. What's the time now? You're so fast. Okay, I have to rush a bit. When you expect a lot of expectation, you never knew, you create your own unhappiness and suffering inside your heart, because the expectation can destroy your life. You never ask yourself. You expect your sister to understand you. You expect your parent to understand you. But do you understand them? You only think of yourself selfishly. So you get angry and a lot of hatred, because you say they never really love you. They never really care for you. And you always think, I'm their sister. Why they do that to me? They treat their friends better than them. You see, this negative thought, wrong thought, creates so much suffering, because you have a lot of expectation. Expectation destroy your life. Okay, the last one is meditation. This one you don't need to know. The Buddha said, in short, the final summary, when you attach and cling on to your five aggregate of form and mind, nama rupa, suffering will arise. You see, as a human being, the Buddha said we have a physical form, one aspect of the aggregate physical body, physical form. We have a mind, M-I-N-D. The mind has four more aggregates. This one, school never teach, university never teach. You ask yourself, what can your mind do? Then you will come to know what the mind is. Our mind can feel it, hot or cold, we can feel it. Correct or not? So there is the aggregate of feeling. Feeling is one of the aggregate of mind. So feeling. Okay, this is mind. Feeling. Second one is perception. You know what is perception, How do you know thing? How do you know this is a microphone? How do you know my voice, my vibration? You perceive it through your seeing consciousness and hearing consciousness. Then nice flavor, curry, through your smell. Hot or cold, you can feel it through your tactile consciousness. So the second aggregate is perception. The third one is every day you do. What can your mind do? You think a lot, isn't it? Correct or not? Thinking. Then last one is what? You can become conscious of things, isn't it? Because you have your five physical senses. You have your eye, you have your ear, your nose, your tongue, your bodily tactile, and your thought process. The six sense door can make you conscious of the respective six types of consciousness. With the eye, I can become conscious of what? Conscious of what I see there. So seeing consciousness come to be. Understand? You open your eye, all this become real. Understand? So the eye can create consciousness. You can become conscious of what you see. The ear can allow you to become conscious of what you hear. Understand? So the power to become conscious is one of the aggregate of mind. The Buddha said you attach to feeling, you suffer. You attach to what you perceive, you suffer. You attach to your views and opinion of what you think, your emotion, you suffer. You attach to what you are conscious of, you suffer. Understand? Later on, this is all meditation, no need to know now. So now I move on to the second noble truth. This is very important. The Buddha said, the first noble truth suffering that you go through, there is a cause behind. And this cause is always due to your ignorance. Your ignorance. This one I can rub off. Can I rub off this? Can, Okay. So now, this one is the cause of arising of ignorance is your ignorance. Ignorance or delusion. That condition your craving. Craving and attachment. You see, whatever that condition your craving and attachment is an ignorant, deluded thought, wrong thought. That's why the Buddha said, in short, the final summary, when you attach and cling to the form, the first one is form. Form is what? Form is physical body. Form plus mind. This form is your physical body. So you attach to this form, you suffer. You worry about this body getting old, this body getting sick, and one day it will die. You worry about it. That's why you attach. You cling to your ignorance. You never know that this is only element and it's not you. And when you meditate, you realize the non-self, empty nature, another nature. Because this form and mind is karmically conditional for you to use. This human being is not you. When the time comes, the consciousness separate, they call death. Nothing die. It's only the death of this karmically conditioned human form and mind. Your eternal nature, your Buddha nature within, never die. Understand? That's why when you meditate, when you can have the understanding, you will come to know that there is another aspect of you, the spiritual nature within, the Buddha nature, the true nature, the original nature. When you meditate, you can come into understanding and contact with that nature. Then you realize, hey, this one cannot die because it was never born. And because it was never born, it cannot get old, it cannot get sick. But there is a nature that has this ability. But this is where the source of all things is. This is where all of life arises, all of coming, all the consciousness come to be. From that nature, everything come to be. To that nature, everything return. That's why they call it the source, the beginning of all things. So this is the second noble truth. So the cause of arising is that you check is due to your holding on to something, cannot accept the reality of the moment. You don't know how to move. You react to it, you blame, you get yourself muddled up. You create your own suffering through what? Through your own anger, hatred, they call it the evil roots. Through your own negativity, you create your own fear, worry, anxiety. When you do that, means what? You don't love yourself, understand? A person who loves himself means what? If you love your children, what will you do? You will protect them, is that? You will not allow them to be harmed. You can sacrifice for them, is that? But how come when they come to your own body and your own mind, you don't know how to do that? You know, human being is so stupid, they never love themselves. They harm themselves. You know how they harm themselves? They create negative thought and become so sorrowful, so angry, so full of hatred and all those things. That's why they harm themselves through all their negative emotion, their negative wrong thought. So when you understand all this, you tell yourself, yeah, I can love my son, my daughter, my children, my loved one. How come I don't know how to love myself? If I love myself, I will never allow myself to be harmed. Understand? I will never allow myself to be sorrowful, to be miserable. I will never allow myself to have any fear, worry, and anxiety. Understand? That is loving yourself. So when you love yourself, you are peaceful, you are happy, you are so full of joy. No matter what happens, you can love yourself. So that is the beautiful thing. When you accept the reality without attachment, without expectation, without craving, you have love, you are peaceful. Always remember, the reality is that aspect of the nature's law. You cannot change. At this moment when things happen, that is the reality. I accept first, then I act. I act with Noble Eightfold Path, then I free. And as a Noble Eightfold Path means no negative thought, no negativity. Means you can never harm yourself, you can never harm others. This is why it's so powerful. This is why it is the meditation that frees you from all suffering. Then after that, you have the third noble truth. The Buddha is very wise, is it? Suffering need not be. You don't have to suffer in life, is it? There is a noble truth that talk about enlightenment. That talk about the cessation of dukkha, which in Pali is called Nirodha. And this talk about enlightenment, Nibbana. Enlightenment, Nibbana. So this is the third noble truth. So beautiful. Suffering need not be. Enlightenment in the here and the now is possible. So Nibbana can be realized in the here and the now. So when you understand this, there is so much joy. Then you know there is hope. There is a way out of suffering. So the Buddha never ends there. He continued. He said, under the Fourth Noble Truth, if you were to cultivate this path, namely the Noble Eightfold Path, that will lead to the cessation of all suffering, you can become enlightened. So that's why the Fourth Noble Truth talk about the path that leads to the cessation of all suffering, which is the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the enlightenment. So this aspect of the Four Noble Truth is so beautiful. So now you realize why I say it's the secret of life. Because all of life is explained here, understand? The mundane life, the worldly life that talk about the reality of life and existence is in the First Noble Truth. Everything you do in life, concerning your birth, old age, sickness and death, separation from loved one, possession with people whom you don't like, when you cannot get what you want, all this concern your life. The five aggregate of form and mind concern your form and mind, your life. Understand? And in modern language, the First Noble Truth, you can also call it the problems of life. What are the problems of life? Your health problem. Health problem is disease, sickness. Your financial problem. Financial problem is what? When there is separation from what you own. When you cannot get all those materialistic things to help you live life. Then you have your career problem, your relationship problem. All this come under what? Separation. When you cannot get what you want, understand? With people whom you don't like. But in modern days, it's different. We call it health problem. We call it financial problem. We call it career problem. We call it relationship problem. Relationship problem a lot. Not only girlfriend, boyfriend, husband and wife. Mother-in-law problem, neighbor's problem. Your own sisters, brothers, your own good friends. Sometimes things don't go on well, it happens. Then the other one is the police case, understand? When you violate your five precepts, when you kill, when you harm, when you take things that don't belong to you, when you commit sexual misconduct, when you lie, cheat and deceive, when people come to know what happened, you got a lot of fear, worry, anxiety. The police will come after you. The anti-corruption will come after you. All this will lead to what? Suffering, understand? Worry. So modern day, First Noble Truth is problem of life. That's why it's so beautiful, the Four Noble Truth. Then it not only talk about the worldly life, it talk about the life beyond our existential world, the enlightenment state, Nibbana, the unconditioned world. So when you have this full understanding of the Four Noble Truth, you know the ultimate wisdom, and you know how to apply this to live life. Then you know the mundane and the supramundane life. Then you have the understanding of complete life. That's why I say this is like the secret of life. When you know the secret behind what life is, you know how to live. And this right view tell you about the secret. I only talk about one. The next two right view is, this one you will learn later, if we have time for another one or two sessions. The second one is Four Noble Truth, which is what I have taught you. So when you understand the Four Noble Truth, you know what suffering is, you know the cause of arising, you know how to manage your life, isn't it? You don't have to suffer anymore, isn't it? But you have to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path in order to live it. Otherwise, it's only theory, understand? In theory, you know what suffering is, you know the cause, but you cannot do it, understand? A lot of people tell me, used to tell me, he said, Brother Teo, when it comes to our own loved one, teach people, advise people very easy, but when it's our own children, we cannot. It's because you have not cultivated this Noble Eightfold Path, the meditation. But if you have, no problem, it can be done. The third one is law of dependent origination, or what they call the 12 link, Paticca Samuppada. This one explain to you very clearly how your mind function, how your mind work. The functioning of your mind follow this law. So when you understand this three right view, you have complete understanding of what life is. Because these three right views correspond to the three types of spiritual law that governs all of the universe. The Buddha said there are five universal law that govern the life and existence of the whole universe. He called it Pancha Niyamas. The first two are scientific law. The first one is Uttu Niyama, physical law. All physical elements follow this law. Then the second one is Bija Niyama, biological order. All organic thing and life form like human being, the plants, the animal, everything, they follow this nature's law, biological order. So scientists are very good in these two. That's why they break through. They have a lot of understanding. The Buddha teach the last three law. The third one is moral causation, law of karma, the Buddha said. This one, all living being, 90% over, 99.99% subject to law of karma. That's why you must have this right view, is it? The first spiritual law. You are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma. Then the fourth one is law of the mind, citta niyama. Citta is mind, law of the mind. How your mind works and how it functions. The third right view goes in, law of dependent origination, the 12 link. How your mind works and functions, order of the mind. That's why there is no such thing as psychic and all those things or miracle. Everything follows this law. When you train your mind to that level, it can perform that thing. That's it. Nothing magical, nothing miraculous. The last one is the Buddha called Dhamma Niyama, all of nature's truth. The Dhamma is the teaching of the Buddha, all the nature's truth, natural occurrences. That one is the second right view, the Four Noble Truths that he teach. Then you learn a lot more of other things, but this is the most important. He talked about the seven factors of enlightenment, the five mental faculties, the five mental hindrances. All these are very useful. The five precepts and all those things. Okay, with that, maybe I will just summarize the Noble Eightfold Path, then we end. You see, the fourth Noble Truth, the Buddha talked about, there is a path, namely the Noble Eightfold Path. Evil to cultivate them, it will lead to the end of all suffering. So this one, the first one, within the Noble Eightfold Path is right view, right understanding. When you have this, you got right knowledge. You got right understanding. You know what the world, the law that governs all of life and existence is all about. That's why the three spiritual law, right view you have. Once you have, like scientists, you break through very fast. You know how to meditate, you know how to cultivate, you know how to understand life, and you won't react to life anymore. Understand? You are very clear about karma. You are very clear about the Four Noble Truths, how you get yourself entangled and create your own suffering. How you mess up with your life because you never understand this right view. Then the law of dependent origination, I don't have time to teach you. It's a very major topic. At the retreat, it took me so many hours to teach them, 4 hours. So this one, the last one, some other time, this one explained to you how your mind works and function. And when you know how your mind works, you know how to free your mind. So when you have the right view, it will condition the right thought, understand? If your view is wrong, your thought is wrong. Thought condition, speech and action, all this will go wrong. That's why right view is number one. When you have right view, it will condition your right thought. No more negative thought. What are negative thoughts? Thought that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, unhappiness, sorrow, lamentation, and frustration. These are all negative thoughts that create negativity and suffering in you. So never allow this to happen. Love yourself. If you love yourself, you have right thought. You have thought of loving kindness, sincerity, gratitude, contentment, joy, happiness. Learn to appreciate life. When you have contentment and appreciation of life, you got no negative thought. But you cannot appreciate life and no contentment. You every time want things your way, you have a lot of craving, which is the cause of suffering. You hold on to your views. You want things your way. You want to be stubborn. You want to blame. You want to react. All these are negative thoughts. Never allow this to arise. then right speech, you know, speak gently, speak nicely, because it's for your own good and the good of the many. A person who speaks angrily or harshly is a violent person, angry person, deluded person. Understand not? Come, stop it. So right speech and right action is all the kindness, the compassion, your generosity, your service to the community, like as a Sunday school teacher. These are all right livelihood and right action. You can make a difference to people. So when you act with kindness, when you act with understanding, with joy, you will become very generous. You help out everywhere. You provide service. You have to give. You can give monetary donation or assistance. You can even, they call the second type of gift of organ. The last one is gift of truth. Help to spread the Dhamma. Help to spread the beautiful message of the Buddha of love, compassion and wisdom. Help to let people understand the meaning of life. Then after that, you have to arise the right effort. Right effort got four. The first two right effort is the right effort to abandon the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action. Then the second right effort is the right effort to prevent the arising of all the wrong thought, wrong speech, and wrong action. So the first two right effort is channeled towards the unwholesome thought, understand not? When it already arisen, you abandon them. There are five ways. I got no time, I will teach you some other time. Then, if it has not arisen yet, if you have the wisdom and the mindfulness, you can prevent it from arising. The last two right effort is, whatever right thought, like contentment, gratitude, kindness, gentleness, love, compassion, honesty, sincerity, all this, right effort to cultivate them, to develop more and more of it. Understand? Then the last right effort is whatever goodness that you already have. Like, for example, certain people by nature, they are very kind, they are very generous, they are very helpful. So the Buddha said, if you have those goodness in you, you must arise the right effort to refine upon it and build it up further. So this four right effort is very important. Then the seventh one is right mindfulness. This is meditation. If you want to learn, you come to me for class. Every Thursday, 8:30 to 10:30. It's up to you, not a rigid one. It's very, very relaxed. At your own pace, you develop the meditation. If you cannot cross leg, you don't have to. You can sit on a couch. You can even lie down. Whatever posture that make you feel comfortable, that allow you to meditate, you can use it. So when you understand what meditation is, you will know how to develop it. It's nothing to do with the method, technique, and the posture you are in. The Buddha say you can meditate throughout the day in whatever posture, as long as your mind understands. Your mind can develop the training of the mind to be peaceful, to be relaxed and aware within, and to be heedful, not to be heedless anymore. That is mindfulness. When you have right mindfulness, you don't have thinking, no thought. You are just aware without thought. The moment thought come out, you are lost in thought, no more mindful. The last one is samadhi, right samadhi. Samadhi is a collected mind. Unwavering, very stable, not disturbed by what you see. Every time we have this sense experience, when we see something, we tend to react, isn't it? When we hear something, we tend to react, isn't it? When you smell something you don't like, you react, isn't it? Pungent or what? Taste also same, tactile feel also, thinking of. Samadhi is when you see them with clarity, you see things as they are, without a view and opinion to react. Understand? You accept them for what they are. The reality. Your mind becomes serene and peaceful. Understand? And that can only be done with wisdom when there is right view. Otherwise, you will react, you will get angry and become unhappy. Okay, with that, I will end this morning's sharing. then you can ask me whatever question you want to ask. So far, is it clear? Yeah? Okay, yeah? Anything you're not sure, you got doubt, you can ask. If I'm not wrong, I still got another session with you all. But the next one is 10 meritorious action and the 5 precepts. These are very important too. It will complement this. I will talk about the 3 evil roots and the importance of precepts. How it can help you in that way. Then the 10 meritorious action is whenever you come to temple, all these 10 things you will do, you can do. This is how you gather merits. This is how you can use that merit to change your life. That's why the Buddha talk about dana, sila, bhavana. Dana is generosity, meritorious action. When you have that, you use it to channel towards your aspiration to bring about the causes and conditions for you to meditate. But to meditate, you must have your sila, precept, morality. So that's why when you have dana, sila will come to be. Then when there is sila, samadhi will come to be. You know why? Without sila, you break your precept, you have a lot of fear, worry, anxiety. Then your mind becomes restless. That is a hindrance. That's why you cannot meditate, you cannot become peaceful. That's why when you have your sila very properly taken care of, your mind is free, your mind is relatively peaceful and calm. Then when you have the 4 noble truth understanding, no more worry, you can meditate very well. You don't hold on to things anymore. Okay. Any questions so far? Yes. Yeah, too much to digest, but don't worry, it's recorded. Eh? Where is the recorder? Oh, here. So don't worry, huh? They will put into MP3 and play for you. This is going to help you a lot. You take your time and listen. I tell you, the longer you listen, the more time you listen, the deeper it goes in. It can serve you until you become enlightened. You don't have to listen every day. You listen already, you keep 3-4 months later, after you teach, after you understand better, you listen again. It goes in at another level. Then when you meditate, you develop more understanding, you listen again, you'll go in more. It's spoken in a very easy to understand day-to-day Dhamma, but it's very deep, cater for all level. Even the enlightened one can listen to this. It's so different, so beautiful. The true Dhamma, the true teaching of the Buddha is very, very difficult to find nowadays. The one that apply to life, that can link to life, that can tell you exactly how it can be applied to your own life. Understand? Not a theory, not something very theoretical anymore. Understand? Yes. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't read that book. But whatever it is, you don't worry. This book is, most of it, if I'm not wrong, is very theoretical. But when you have this understanding, when you read, you go beyond what the author said, and you become different. Yeah, very different. Now you read, it's so different. But this one, if you listen to it again, then you read, then you listen again and you read, it's very different. You cannot understand. You cannot understand. You know why? They never link for you. They never explain all this for you. Because all, like very, very scattered all over. One moment he talked 4 noble truth, but he never summarized to you what the 4 noble truth is. He just quote all the standard traditional, what they call religious term. Yes, Dhamma word. Correct. Yes. Pali, and not only Pali, they never explain the true meaning. That's why you find it so boring, very difficult to understand. So that's why this is very good for you. Isn't it? This one very easy to understand. Will relate to your life. Isn't it? Yes, easier, so much. Yes, very dry. Correct, huh? You cannot understand. You want to sleep. This story, yes, correct. Yeah. That's why when you understand this, you won't know what are the right book to read. Maybe I should give you the other book, The Ancient Path. There's another book. It's not deep. Once you understand this, the meaning come out. Because that one more authentic, 80% more accuracy. That one for new people who don't have this briefing is very dry because it's very technical. And the whole book all over he write. Nobody can link for you. The ability to link is where the Dhamma is, because the Buddha's teaching is so simple. Everything evolved from the Four Noble Truths. From here is spin off. Everything that the Buddha teach, the five precepts, the Noble Eightfold Path, the three evil roots, even the 10 meritorious actions, everything spin off from here. That's why when you know the core teaching, you know all his teaching. This one is more for you. Later on, you will know how to simplify to teach the Sunday school children. But they are so young. You only have to teach them the faith, who the Buddha is, how special he is. He is a fully enlightened one. Then if you have faith in him, your mental faculty, your spiritual faculty will develop. I don't have time to teach you the five mental faculty. You heard of the five mental faculty? Sadda, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, Panya. This is very important. This is what the Buddha teach. Your mind, he said, before you train this mind, before you develop the meditation and the understanding of his teaching, your mind is very weak. The untrained mind think a lot. Come in.
Sorry.
Yeah.
How long will you be using the...
Another five minutes. Can or not? Don't mind. Thanks. You see, this five spiritual faculty or mental faculty, very important. The Buddha is like when you understand, you know how to apply. Without this, you cannot apply. You need to have faith in yourself. You remember? When you are confident, half the battle is won. So the first one is faith or saddha in the Buddha's teaching. Faith. Faith in the Buddha and his teaching, So when you have the faith, the five spiritual faculty. You can break free. Then the second one is he called Virya. Virya is spiritual resolve or zeal. You know what is zeal, Z-E-A-L. The third one is sati or mindfulness. The fourth one is samadhi. The fifth one is wisdom or panya. Okay, these five are very important. When you have faith in the Buddha and his teaching, through knowing how special he is, the fully enlightened one, your confidence in him and his teaching very strong, your mind very composed, understand? Then you are very calm. Then you can learn things very fast, understand? Otherwise you cannot. Otherwise you feel sleepy, understand? Like you read so dry. So when you develop this faith, the children will be very excited. Then you ask them to chant with the confidence and the faith. Then this virya will come, the spiritual result, because you know his teaching is so beautiful, so wonderful, so important for you to understand life and to make a big difference to your life. So what you will do is, you will develop this spiritual resolve and tenacity or zeal to actually determine to cultivate his teaching, to follow his advice, to avoid all evil, to good, purify the mind, so that you can realize the enlightenment, so that you can change your life. Your character, your personality will change through the Noble Eightfold Path. So when you have these two, you will know how to pay respect mindfully, Sati will be developed. Mindfulness will be developed. When you pay respect, body and mind move as one. There is no thought. You are very composed, very calm. So this is how you strengthen your mind. Then when you have this sati build up, the mind become very collected, unwavering. So the moment you see something, hear something, you are not like last time anymore. You are very mindful of your mental intention. You will not have any more selfishness, any more fear, any more negative thought. Understand? So because of that, the wisdom will come. You will understand, hey, last time I don't have this, I become miserable. Everything I see, I hear, I'm not happy, I get angry, I get unhappy. Now no more. Now I am at ease, at peace. Everything is just the way it is. The reality of this form and mind, I understand. I got no more fear, I got no more worry, I am so peaceful. This is the power of mind when you have this five. It will overcome your five hindrances. The worst one is restlessness, fear, worry, anxiety, that negative thought. That comes from your delusion, your ignorance, your attachment. When you don't understand life, when you break your precept. Okay? This is to counter your weak mind. When your mind have the hindrance of mind, sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor is sleepiness, then restlessness of mind due to your fear, worry, anxiety and unhappiness. Then the last one is doubt. When you are not sure of the teaching, you are not sure of what life is, you have a lot of doubt. That's why a lot of people go and ask Feng Shui Master. They go and see all the medium, but it will not help you. You have to understand the Buddha Dharma, take care of your karma. When you take care of your karma, this is the best Feng Shui for you. The Buddha said, nothing else protect you except your virtue, your goodness. Your virtue is your good karma. Understand or not? Okay? We better go. Otherwise,